Welcome to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. This podcast is dedicated to helping midlife women step into the inherent power and wisdom of a time of life when they often feel overlooked and underrepresented and even begin to doubt themselves. Each week, we will cover information and inspirational topics along with real stories from real women who are defying cultural stereotypes and perceptions of midlife. Women who are reinventing themselves, starting businesses, chasing their dreams, and tackling challenges they never thought possible. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. Today, we're going to be talking about finding your voice. And my guest is Doreen Downing, who is a PhD psychologist. She is the author of Seven Secrets to Essential Speaking. She is the host of the podcast called Find Your Voice, Change Your Life. And she helps people uncover their fears about speaking up. So welcome, Doreen. I'm happy to have you here on the podcast with me.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. It's already been fun chatting with you.
So we were chatting a little bit just before we jumped on, and I was saying to you that one of the reasons why I really wanted to have this conversation today, why I think this is so important, is because I think as women, we are often taught to not speak up. Like culturally, we're kind of groomed to, you know, don't rock the boat, you know, don't necessarily say what you think, you know, make everybody happy. And in a lot of those cases, we end up swallowing our own voice. And, you know, whether it be for a career ambition or, you know, maybe you want a career as a public speaker, or maybe it's just that you want to be able to speak up in your own life. And most importantly, and I've talked a lot about this on the podcast, is women being able to find their voice to advocate for themselves. So whether it's at work, at home, or, you know, in a medical setting, especially when it comes to menopause, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and a lack of information. And I think a lot of women don't feel heard. And because a lot of that is because we haven't found our voices. And I just think it's so critically important. So thank you for diving into this topic with me today.
Absolutely. I like where you started about how we learn to have a voice. And that is, being a psychologist, that's been one of my curiosities is always, well, how did you get to be who you are? And it started somewhere. Yes, you brought in a certain, you know, the capacities, the DNA, you know, the nurture, the nature kind of thing. But families, I have to tell you, there are so many stories of early life, not just that kind of cultural message that you just mentioned, like, oh, you know, the females, but there are also trauma. There's also cultural, you know, very different cultures that say, you know, don't speak to the elders. And there are schools and learning situations like teachers. So I just, in my book, I talk about what I think are some of the early causes, the influences of children not being able to feel like they can stand up, go, hello, world, and have the world applaud, because maybe nobody's there applauding, or maybe they're wagging their finger at them, or just maybe somebody's telling them to actually shut up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that old adage, right? Children should be seen and not heard.
Like I have to tell you that I get that a lot in my work with people when they start doing the deeper dive into the roots of speaking anxiety. Because actually, you know, we do think about it. A little kid starting to walk, opening her arms up to the world and saying, hello, world. And that moment is, or those moments of, am I being welcomed or not?
Right.
You know, you could see how deep that is, I think, in terms of I'm okay or I'm not so okay.
Yeah. And then you layer on top of that. So excellent point. But when you layer on top of that, then how we're cultured as girls and women growing up, right? It's just reinforcing that. So it's really no wonder that we struggle to find our voices. And often, you know, the women who do find their voices and speak up are ostracized in some way. Like you think about the Me Too movement, right?
Yes. And in corporations now, it seems like with women having, you know, during the last decade, you might say, you know, really taken hold more of, I have power, I'm going to speak up. there's still, I have to tell you, there's still so many professional women I work with that hide their true voice, their strength, and only because they're afraid. Or I have one person that I just recently talked to who said her boss came to her and said, "We don't say that here." Whatever it was that she had said, she had spoken up at a meeting. And she says, "No, you can't do that here." And it's just like,
wow, you know, how demeaning.
Just, you know, putting a hand over somebody's mouth. And so anyway, I think it is, like you're saying, such a problem for us to find arenas where we feel safe, where we feel we can express ourselves, where our voice is welcomed and celebrated, let's say. And I think I love this podcast. I love what you're doing because you're it's an empowering moment, I think, for us. And that's, I think that's what we need, is more people like you. And then my podcast also, you know, the stories that people tell about finding their voice. And I think it's so inspirational, and that's what we need.
Yeah. And I think it's especially true as, you know, when we come into this second chapter or this next chapter of our lives, and, you know, the ways of being that we had before are just no longer serving us. Right. Mm-hmm. And we step into this new chapter, and part of us reclaiming the narrative about what it means to be a 40, 50 or 60 year old woman is to honor our power. Like, I truly believe that we are more powerful than we've ever been in this chapter of our lives. And part of that is honoring, well, speaking up and honoring our own voice, like honoring what's inside of us and speaking it into the world. Like, yes. I just think that's so critical for all of us. And it's like, I've been on this journey, right? That's one of the other reasons why, I mean, I pick podcast topics that I am genuinely curious and passionate about. And this has been part of my journey, is learning to speak up. I mean, you know, now I'm doing a podcast, so we're making steps, but it's not necessarily an easy journey. And I think it's for all of the reasons that you just mentioned. There's so many, you know, causes, you know, experiences, traumas that, you know, will silence us and silence us and silence us until we can't even hear ourselves.
Right. Oh, what you just said, that we can't even hear ourselves, because that's the first step. And we've listened to society and we've tried to fit in. And at this stage in our life, if we really are going to strip down and be way more expressed, we have to, I would say it has something to do with being not just strong, but also vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. I want to dig into that, because I think that's a very, very important point. And you talk a lot about, you know, finding your voice and becoming your most authentic self, which in itself is a hugely vulnerable place to be seen. Uh-huh. So I want to dig into that. But before we get to that, I would love to know you. I know you have a story about your journey to finding your voice. Mm. Can you share a little bit about what that experience was like for you?
Okay. I could come at it from two angles. I think I'll start with the older me, who is already a doctor, a clinical psychologist, had a good business in Berkeley, California, of all places. I had a PhD from UC Berkeley. And I, you know, I just thought, life is great. You know, I'm launched in my career as a psychologist. But I hid the fact that I was terrified of public speaking. Right. And I didn't have to face it, because it was just one-on-one in my office. And I love listening to people. I love relating to, you know, and I love this deeper dive and going in and exploring what's inside of people and, you know, really bringing out the best inside of them. But isn't that amazing? For years, I was able to hide, and then had done some research, a topic of, well, it doesn't matter about the topic, but I had done some research and they wanted me to speak up at a conference. And I said, not me. I'm too afraid of speaking. And I was confronted. The organizer, the meeting planner, said, "But doctor, isn't fear your business?"
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so that called was out.
Called out. That's a good frame for it. Yes, I was called out. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, that is, I am hiding. And so I took my first that was the beginning of a journey, a long journey to find my voice. And before I go, if I'm going to say just a few more things about that, I want to say, well, part of the journey to find your voice means you have to do some deep dive into like what we started today. Well, what was my childhood? I mean, if that's where we start to claim our voice and I didn't, what happened there? Well, what happened is my mother was a bipolar. She was in and out of the hospital. And when she came back, well, my grandmother took care of us because my mother was mentally ill, you might say that, if you want to label it. And so when mom came back, my grandmother would go to my sister and me, be quiet. You're going to send your mom back to the hospital. You know? Oh, even just right when I said it, my whole body kind of shivered because it's deep. You know, that kind of message, your mom's going to get sick if you speak up. Now, you know, so that's deep.
Wow. No, that's really deep. Like what a responsibility to place on a child.
Oh, that's a good, yes, that's exactly it. And that kind of responsibility, I think I was the oldest sister also was, you know, like trying to keep my sister quiet too. So just kind of like, ooh, I've got to control the environment. And I think that picking psychology, I think I understand why I picked psychology because there's probably some kind of curiosity about who we are and why we are the way we are. But also it was only one person. Maybe two if I saw a couple. And so I finally said, okay, I have this problem. I went to San Francisco, took a class on overcoming your fear. It was horrifying, I have to tell you. It was just so hard to take that. And if anybody who's listening, that's all you have to do is just take that first step to say, I need help and find somebody or a class or, I don't know, I have a book. You could read a book. But I think what's most important is taking your body into a situation, but it's got to be safe. And so Toastmasters was okay, but it didn't take me as deep as I needed to go. I learned how to make a good speech, a beginning, a middle, an end. I knew how to vocal variety, and I know how to do a keynote speech. I do know all that, but it did not get to that little girl who was still shivering inside.
So how did you get to that little girl? Like, how did you get to the point where you could calm that little girl who's afraid when you're standing on stage?
That was such a beautiful answer question. And the answer is the listening that you've already pointed to about, there's a voice whispering inside. I'm scared. I'm way down here. There's a cartoon, if you call it a cartoon, of a person in a boat trapped in a castle deep under the sea. And there is somebody, you know, like a fisherman going around, and the person way down in the castle trapped is saying, if you love me, you'd really find me. And I'm not sure I really put that all out, but it was like how hidden I was. Mm-hmm. So I had to go deep inside and say, hello in there. Hello, I see you. But it can't be. I work with so many people who say, I just want to get rid of it. I just want to get rid of my fear. And I have to tell them there's a little one in there who's so scared. We have to go gently into that dark space and say, hello in there. I'm here. Because for whatever reason, it was safer to hide. So you've got to really do a gentle, for me, at least, or at least people like me. I mean, there are a lot of people who say, feel the fear and go do it anyway. I say, ooh, let's go here and listen to the fear. Let's get close to it and then try and start having a relationship with that part of yourself so that then she can say, oh, you see how I just did that? There's like more space, more room. Somebody's listening. Somebody's saying yes to me. And the somebody happens to be myself.
I can so relate to that because I think the feel of fear and do it anyway is for some people. And maybe that does work for some people. But the making friends with that little scared part of you, telling her that she's safe and that you've got this, right? Like there's somebody in control, like we're not going to die here, right? It's almost, it's like reparenting yourself, right? Because I mean, in my experience, like, you know, I had a 30-year corporate career and I did a lot of public speaking as part of my corporate career and I did fine with it. When I left my corporate career and decided that, you know, I wanted to become a speaker and, you know, get on stages in front of people, I went very much like you, I went to a speaking workshop. And when the first time I had to get up on speak, I completely froze. I went completely blank. I had no idea what I was saying. I completely froze. And it was interesting to me because I didn't expect it because I had done lots of speaking in large rooms. But what I realized was, and this is where I want to get into the authentic you part of it. What I realized was when I was speaking in front of those large rooms in my corporate days, it wasn't really me. It was me, my title, me, my position, me, the strategy that I was talking about. But it wasn't really me. It was like there were like three or four layers of protection in front of me. But when I, you know, started down this road and was like, okay, you know what I mean? I want to be a speaker. That was me, like me, exposed me standing on a stage. And like that took me by so much surprise where it was like, okay, I got some work to do. I'll be back. And I think there's a lot of people like that who can speak from their title or speak from their position, but it's not really them. Do you know, does that make sense? Like, have you seen that in your practice? Yeah.
I think you described it perfectly about the role that you play versus the being that you are and what your passion is and what you truly love. And your passion to me feels like it's closer to your heart, unless you are working in a corporation that you really truly have a passion for and believe in. But still, even in that situation, it's a role. I think it's very visual to me what you described. I could see you, you know, really out there prancing around in front of an audience doing your work, and then saying, okay, hello world, this is who I am and what I love and what I want to share. This is my message. Why is that so? I mean, yes, it is. It's closer to authenticity, but it's so curious to me. How come? And you know, I guess I'm the one with the answers. You're asking me how come, but
you can ask questions.
I mean, just like even for you. I mean, like, what? How do you make sense of that moment when you froze?
Yeah, it was interesting because, like I said, I realized that there was work to be done. And when I actually started to dig into it, I realized that there was a lot of places in my life where I wasn't speaking my truth, right? Like maybe I was speaking up. Maybe I was saying things. Maybe I was saying the things that people wanted to hear or that I thought were going to be well received, but I wasn't speaking my truth. And I had to come to terms with it. Like, okay, well, what is it? What is it about me and putting my truth out there that feels that scary, that vulnerable? Right. And it was, you know, when it comes right down to it, it's that it wasn't going to be enough, that I wasn't going to get it right, you know, that it wasn't going to be perfect or, you know, so there was a big part of me that didn't feel not enough. And I've done a lot of work on that over the years, you know, finally to the place where it still comes up. Like this is lifelong work. You know, it's still like every time before I'm about to, you know, do a speaking gig or, you know, a presentation, like it comes up but I get it. I'm like, oh, I understand it. And I know how to, you know, like you said, connect in, would quiet that little girl, right? Let her know that we're safe before we step out. But I think what you said was absolutely key in that I wasn't dismissing her. I was actually bringing her in like, hey, we're going to go do this and it's going to be fun. We're going to have a really great time. Stay close. I got you. Right. So that's literally the conversation that goes on in my head.
Well, in the Find Your Voice work that I do, it's about going even deeper because we talk about the person who says, hey, we're going to get to do this together. And then you have the little one. But I like going even deeper to the essence. You know, some people call it the spirit or the Yes. The core of you, or, you know, we're talking about authenticity. To me, it feels like that where truth lies is even deeper. And so that what is that? This has been the challenge of my work. But when people find me, they love it. They always say, huh, it's not what I expected, but it's so transformational and so much more, because it does go even deeper than all the layers that we're talking about. Once you know what that feel of authentic, true self, which is deep, because then you're always grounded, you're always present, you know how to breathe down, and you feel the ground beneath you. And yeah, there's the little one who's riding actually on her shoulders, basically, from inside. And then we got the other one. I know this isn't all schizophrenic type stuff. This is really true. We have parts of ourselves.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And I know you talk about, you know, then you just mentioned that, like, you know, getting that solid inner core, right? Yes. Like getting, like, how do you, okay. So when somebody is in a situation where they recognize that I want to speak up in this moment, but I can't, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Like, are there things that people can do in that moment to help them kind of ground inwards and find that that foundation from which to speak? Does that make sense?
Yes. And I believe it's a self training. And that's why in the work that I do, it's usually over time, because it isn't just, hey, all you have to do is breathe. It's like, if you've trained your body, in fact, just today, I was working with somebody who said, when I think about this thing that she has to event where she has to go to, she goes, I feel uncomfortable. I feel nervous. And I said, right here, right now, on the way to the event is where you're training your body to come back to calm, come back to calm, come back. And the more you do it on the way to the event, when you get to the event, your body is already trained. So yes, but everybody has their own way. And that's what I try and find. Mine is counting backwards from 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. I could do, in fact, I just kind of did it right now. I feel more present just by doing that.
Right.
And so you train your body. Maybe it's a easy breath. I don't like to say deep breath, a full easy breath for somebody. Maybe it's pinching fingers or putting your, or straightening your spine. There has to be some physical, not has to be, but in my work, I've noticed that some kind of physical signal to your brain that you are safe, that you are grounded, that you are centered, that you're in this now moment and you are strong, because your core essence, your authentic self, is the most powerful asset you have.
Oh, that's so interesting. So one of the things that I do is visualization. Like I picture myself doing the thing, like, in, you know, while I'm rehearsing my talk or writing my talk, right? I'm actually picturing myself delivering that talk. I'm picturing the audience responding to me. Like I'm, so by the time I get there, I feel like I've already done it many, many, many times.
Yes. Yes. I love it. There's somebody, a doctor that I interviewed on my podcast, and he called that exactly what you're talking about, mental rehearsals. And he says, what we do is rehearse disaster.
Yes. Oh, yes. Do we ever, right? Yeah, that's true. It's like, you know, the human brain is wired to go to the all the bad things before the good things. And the reality is, you know, it has a 50-50 shot one way or the other, right? Yeah. But we focus on the 50% where it's going to go wrong and not the 50% that it's going to go right. And for me, that's what visualization represents. That's like the perfect outcome.
How do I
want to feel in that moment? What do I, how do I want the audience to respond? Like when I'm standing on stage, like I can see, feel the whole experience, like it's a full body experience for me.
I love that description, a see, feel, whole body experience. And let me ask you this, do you go as far as when it's all over and you're looking back at it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I'm like leaving the event, I'm driving or, you know, I'm in a cab and I'm going, that was the best thing I've ever done. Like that was so good. I was on point. The audience loved it. They got what they needed to get from it. Like I'm literally doing that whole thing. And it was interesting. Like I used to do that in my corporate life all the time without recognizing like, that I was doing it. Like when my, you know, like I used to run project teams a lot. And when the team would run into a problem, you know, we would fast forward, what we call fast forward, to the end of the project and talk about that event. Like we got through it, like as in, wow, yeah. I didn't think so-and-so was going to approve the budget for that. And then get, you know, and then they did and we finished it. And so it's like, we're putting ourselves at the end of the job,
the
job done.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we've even gotten there. And, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, the subconscious doesn't know the difference between real, real and imagined.
Yes.
Whether that's true or not, but it works really, really. I mean, I do believe it to be true, but it's worked really well for me in any situation.
Believe.
Yeah. Yes,
that,
exactly.
That idea, that other quote, whether you believe it's, whatever you believe it will be true. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I use that in any situation where I'm really uncomfortable about the outcome, like when I get attached to the outcome of something, that's been like a really effective tool for me. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
The secrets that I discovered, because like Toastmasters only took me so far. So then I did the more inner work, and that's where mindfulness and meditation came into play, and presence, full presence. And my first, I call it a secret because it isn't your typical speaker training, is the first is be still.
Mm.
Right. And
I
you come
that.
To speak, you think, hey, I'm going to go to a speaker training. What? And she's telling me, be still. I can't. That's the problem. Well, yeah, that's the problem. You're afraid of going blank. You're afraid, you're just like what your experience was. So we've got to learn first how to still the mind and how to still our body. And you and I talked about it a few minutes ago, a little bit about the how, you know, and it's
different
for everybody. So, but whether it's on the way to the event or this situation, or, you know, we're talking about it as if there's an event, but something you're saying about advocating for ourselves as women is, you know, yeah. The doctor's office, or in your relationships, social relationships, you know, well, I wanted to do this. Well, I'd like to do this. I mean, like, how do you, how do you speak up for what you want and what you don't want?
Yeah, well, exactly. Right. Because I mean, we all need to be heard.
Yes.
Right. And like, I think it's a normal human need. Right? To be heard. And when we're constantly shutting down our own voice, we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to be heard.
Yes.
Right. And then we lose connection with ourselves. Maybe we lose connection with relationships, or, you know, we just don't get the things that we want out of our lives because we're just not taking the opportunity to be heard.
Yeah. Right.
So what are some of the other, like the other you talk about seven steps. What are some of the other things that you advise?
Well,
people.
Stillness. And then all of them, when I do workshops or when I do my groups, I lay out all of them. And if somebody wants them, it's DoreenSevenSecrets.com, DoreenSevenSecrets.com. But okay. I don't know if I'll just go through each one, but every single one begins with be still, be present, be listening. You know, what does that have to do with speaking?
I was going to ask you about that one. What does that have to do with, what does that have to do with speaking?
Jennifer, think about this. Think about you being, you're a lovely listener. Think about being a listener. Now think about being a speaker. And doesn't your body go into a different kind of energy, or like you got to prepare for speaking, but you don't really have to prepare for listening? So in terms of how this applies to speaking, anxiety is we're so concerned about the preparation, like you said, talked about the rehearsal, the how to not get, it's all about managing anxiety and coming across in a way that feels like we're lined up with what we have to say. But we forget that it's listening to the audience who's listening to us. We have to pay attention to folks. Not we have to, but I think that we call it relational presence, being present with, and it's one person at a time in the audience. So it's more conversational and the listening, because that's what you and I are doing it. You and I are speaking, listening. I wish there was a phrase for that, you know, doing it at the same time. Well, I guess that's communication or conversation, but.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking that's the difference between talking at people and then connecting with people, right? Yes. Like when I'm up on a stage, I don't want to talk at anybody. Like I hate being talked to, like talked yes. at, right? Yeah. But when like my job, I always think my job is to make a connection with the audience, right? Like to be real.
Yeah.
Right. But yes. Yeah, you have to listen in order to connect. That's really important. Very well put. I hadn't actually thought about it that way, but that's excellent.
Yeah. And the be positive is what you just said is be real. I made it be positive as opposed to be real because it's more like the light, I think, inside of us. I had talked about the essence a little while ago. Mm-hmm. It is like a jewel or a light or a beam that shines, that radiates. And when you're speaking, you know, think about it. Don't you want to be radiating a generous spirit as opposed to just your words?
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea that people remember the feeling of you. And if you're positive, it just feels like that gives the listeners a good sense of who you are. And yes, be connected is another one of them. And then be yourself is the last one. Mm-hmm. And you know how people say, oh, just be yourself, even if you're scared, just be yourself. But the people I work with cannot just be themselves because they just overcome, hijacked by anxiety. And it's too overwhelming for them. So that's why be yourself is the very last part of my process, because you got to go through this process to learn who this self is so that then you have some, you know, by the time you've done the deep inner work, you've learned these tools that I teach, and then you can be yourself in any situation. Like you're talking about medical situations, family situations, social situations, any stage in life.
I love that point because I think, and this was true for me, a lot of us don't know who we are. So when I was at the beginning of my reinvention journey, and the people on the podcast have heard me talk about this a lot, right? I found myself divorced, unemployed, an empty nester, and I was bedridden with a stress-related illness, all within a very short space of time. And what I realized was without the titles and the roles that I played, I had no idea who I was, right? Yeah. And so when I then was like, okay, I'm going to go and become a speaker. And then, you know, I couldn't be myself because I didn't even know who she was, mm-hmm. right? And over time, as I've built that relationship with myself, as I see myself and hear myself, right? Now I can stand on a stage and I can be more of myself because I know who that woman is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But so many of us have, you know, like shut ourselves down, have stifled our own voices for so long that we've lost that connection. I mean, that's my work really is helping women connect back to, you know, that most authentic part of them. Either they lost it along the way or like me, they never had it because I was too busy following the rules and doing all the things that people told me I should be doing that I never actually fully established who this person was before the
world got
exactly a hold of it.
That's exactly it. You and I are so on the same page. A lot of times I talk about it in terms of the orphaned part of ourselves the exiled part of ourselves, right? Orphaned or exiled or wounded, our wounded voice, our wounded self. And because the wounded self doesn't have a voice except for, ow, I'm going to go hide. Don't ask me to come out.
Yeah. So how has finding your own voice or taking that journey, how has that changed you? Like, how does that change how you show up in the world?
Wow. Well, I'm here today. I've been on dozens and dozens of podcasts. This one with you, I have to tell you, feels way deeper because it's not just about me talking about my book or my process. It really feels interactive. So I've truly enjoyed meeting you and speaking with you and listening
Thank
with you.
You
and speaking with you. And so I think that, you know, we don't know each other and I just feel like I've fallen in love with you. So that so how it has changed my life is like, I used to be afraid to even engage with people. You know, it just was really, really hard. Yeah. You might say I'm an introvert, but still it was just, I just feel like, oh, I want to know you. I want to dance with you. I want to get, you know, it's just like, so I think that this idea that it's not just about me being, or women or people being on a stage. It really is about every conversation has mm-hmm. some kind of possible meaning for you. There's a connection. You use that word connection, even just one-on-one. So yeah, I've done keynotes now. I've been on stages. I've traveled around the world to teach this process. I've been to Netherlands 12 times. Wow. I've been to England. So in a way, it's given me partly what I love to do anyway, an opportunity to travel. I used to be in the Peace Corps, so I got bit by the travel bug early on. And I don't know. It's like, so you ask, so what does it mean for you? I feel like I get to carry myself. Like you just said, it's like, you know, what's real and you can carry your own measuring stick. Am I real now or not?
Yeah. And it really, I mean, I think, you know, we kind of alluded to this before. It's a lifelong journey. Like, I feel like I'm peeling layers all the time. I'm like, oh, yes. Look, there's something new under here. Right. Yes. Let me go discover it. And, you know, for me, I mean, my journey is about getting the most out of my life that I can. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to leave any stone unturned. Uh-huh. Right. And it's not always easy, but like my curiosity for things is just like greater sometimes than my fear, which sometimes gets me into trouble. But I think just like finding your voice, you know, finding that person inside just opens all kinds of doors for you that like I do things now that I would never have imagined were even possible for me. Even this podcast, uh-huh. like when I think back about, you know, in my corporate days, like I would never, ever, ever have said that this is what I would be doing, like having amazing conversations with amazing people like you. Yes. Right. And then sharing them like this is my like I love doing this so much. It's my most favorite thing to do. Yeah. And like, that wasn't even within the realm of possibility until I figured out who I was and what I wanted. Uh-huh. And that's why I think this conversation about finding our voice is just so, so important, because it's really about, I think it's about finding our soul, finding our spirit. Like, what do we want from deep inside? What do we want?
Right. The essence of who we truly are, the core essence. And what you just said about the whole idea of being really true to yourself too feels like you know who you are, so you know where truth is and where it isn't, and the learning, the lifelong learning. Well, so what's that about? How come I didn't speak up then? And then you get even more the curiosity that you're referring to. It helps you keep on being a learner. I feel like we really have found each other in this world, and I feel very connected and I feel affirmed by you. And I think the work that you're doing with the podcast is reaching ears that and hearts that need to know. And what you said about voice, it's not about finding, well, it is about finding your voice, but it's about finding the person who has the voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that person has got spirit, got soul, got so much. It's got personality. It's everything of who you are. Who are you? And then when you know who you are, you have a voice.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting too. On my own journey, I used to get recurring throat infections. Like a couple times a year, I would get a wicked throat infection that would completely take my voice. And I was thinking, maybe this was last year, wait a minute, I think a couple of years have gone by. Uh-huh. And I haven't had a throat infection.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that interesting? Right. So it's almost like the physical manifestation of me holding my truth in, holding my voice in, was coming out that way. Yeah. And it, like I said, probably a couple of years went by and I was like, very interesting. Yeah. I don't believe in coincidence. So there you go.
Uh-huh. You know, I have diabetes and I had that same kind of, so what does this have to do with, you know, me being able to, because diabetes is something about the insulin coming into and being received by the cells. And then there's some kind of exchange going on that you have more energy because your cells open up. Well, I was closed. I'm not letting anything in, especially I'm not letting love in, because I had a bad time being loved early on. So guess what? You know, and that's kind of deep. I know I'm doing a little. But that's when we know ourselves. And when that shows up, you're not as, you just go, hey, yeah, I had this problem. I kept people away at an arm's distance, you know? Yeah. So yeah,
and that was awareness is half the battle, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's, the other half would be celebration.
Right. And I, you know, I truly believe that, you know, when we are our most authentic self, that's where we find our gifts, right? Yes. Like our sharing our gifts with the world is like comes from the most authentic version of us, which I think is such a beautiful, beautiful gift to the world that we can all like, you know, find that thing that lights us up and then give that gift to the world. And especially in this chapter, I feel like we're unencumbered by a lot of, you know, building our career and our families and taking care of, right? We're moving into a stage where we have more space and time.
Yes.
And now it's that we have the time and the energy to like start sharing our gifts and sharing who we are with the world, because it's like our experience, our value, like our wisdom, our knowledge is all so incredibly valuable and so needed on this planet, especially right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I loved it. And where can my audience find you and find more about your work and get your books?
Well, I think my website would be the best place because I've got everything listed there. And it's Doreen Downing. That's my name, D-O-R-E-E-N, and Downing, DoreenDowning.com. Kind of easy. Okay. And I've got a YouTube channel. I've got a quiz people could do. I have a video series of the 7 secrets. Oh, cool. And I have a guide, Fearless or Magnetic Speaking Guide. So there's lots. If I think the website's probably the first step, and then they could choose what the next step is for them.
Amazing. So we will make sure that all of that gets in the show notes so everybody can find who you are and this incredible work that you do in the world. So thank you. Thank you for having this conversation with me.
Thank you so much.
And for those of you listening, if you liked what you heard today, the greatest honor that you could give us would be to leave a rating or a review on the podcast, or even better yet, pass this on to a friend, a sister, a relative, somebody you think that might get something out of it. So until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend, subscribe, rate and review our podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen in.